Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast for Monday, March 29th, 2010. We are Stephen and Brooksine Weber. We were unable to prepare a few messages last week, but are glad to be once again sitting here in front of our home computer. We prepared a message that we truly desire will bring encouragement and instruction from the Scripture. Today's message is titled, The Triumphal Entry. It's based on two Scripture texts today, Luke 9:51 and Hebrews 12:3.
As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Yesterday, we, along with many of you, observed Palm Sunday when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on the colt of a donkey, in fulfillment of the prophecy mentioned in Zechariah 9:9. He was lauded with glory, honor, and praise from the crowd of onlookers. Hosanna, they cried out, a cry for salvation, declaration of praise. This was the beginning of the final days that led up to his crucifixion.
When we lived in New England, several times we went to Boston during the Boston Marathon held every year in April. One year we went to observe and cheer the runners on at what is probably the most famous slope in all competitive running, known as Heartbreak Hill. Perhaps you've heard of it. This hill isn't particularly steep, but comes at a psychologically difficult time during the 26-plus mile marathon. The gentle grade wears at the weary runners as they are about two-thirds of the way to the finish line at this point. Crowds are huge, and the voluminous cheering of spectators gives impetus for the runners to endure the long stretch ahead.
You go to our site today, in fact, we have a photo taken at Heartbreak Hill. A spiritual Heartbreak Hill is an experience that virtually all believers will encounter in life. In fact, there will likely be several Heartbreak Hills in one's lifetime. Perhaps some of our listeners are wearily treading in a extended uphill grade right now. Paul describes his heartbreak hill as, and I'm quoting from 2 Corinthians 4:8, hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed.
Well, let's consider the definitive heartbreak hill that Jesus endured. Luke's narrative gives us a glimpse of his deep resolve to fulfill his Father's mission, as I read earlier, and we'll repeat it again. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Well, of course, before Jesus was taken up into heaven, he once for all made the final blood sacrifice by the shedding of his own blood. That sacrifice would take place through Jerusalem. We will see this resolution most powerfully demonstrated through the events that unfold this Passion Week.
Just prior to the triumphal entry, we read in Luke 19:28, quote, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, end quote. The phrase going up is very purposeful, translating the Greek anapaino, the same word used when Zacchaeus climbed the sycamore tree. The King James Version translates it ascending. This was our Savior's greatest heartbreak hill, but certainly not in relationship to the elevation difference or the physical exertion. Luke reveals the spiritual heartbreak of Jesus in the following statement. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. His heart was broken for the lost. We consider the words to an old hymn. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?
Today, our word of encouragement to our fellow runners, some who are presently treading up Heartbreak Hill. It's from Hebrews 12:3, one of our texts today. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Why is Christ's entry into Jerusalem referred to as the triumphal entry when Scripture reveals that over the next several days, anguish, sorrow, and death would overshadow any potential cause for victory?
Because in the midst of the evil and cruelty that is about to unfold, God's plan to provide salvation for humankind was not thwarted, but divinely fulfilled. Christ's triumphal entry was truly triumphant because he came into Jerusalem first as a victor, not a victim. Secondly, to fulfill the ultimate plan of God. And thirdly, to demonstrate the full extent of his love.
Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. He had fulfilled his Father's purpose and was victor over sin. He loved his own, and in his act of great sacrifice, he showed us the full extent of his love. Today, let us live for him who died for us.
Let's pray together. Father, our hearts are deeply stirred as we consider the extent of your love in sending Jesus to die for our sins. As he wept over Jerusalem, we see his tender humanity in relation to our sin problem. How grateful we are that Jesus yielded himself fully to be used as a sin sacrifice once for all, not just for Jerusalem, but for peoples of every tribe and language, for all generations prior to his sacrificial death, and for all of us who follow. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for joining us today. And again, it is good to be sharing the word. We are sort of in a habit of preparing messages each weekday. If you are regular listeners, you may have noticed we missed a couple late last week. I took some friends to Chicago, some elderly friends, to his sister's funeral. And thus, even though we can prepare messages on the road, it was just too busy of a time to do that. But I do have some photos up from our trip to Chicago. Found out when I got to the hotel, we were practically right across the street from the headquarters of Weber Grill, which, of course, I find interesting. Although, there's no relation. Well, frankly, the headquarters wasn't a very impressive building. However, I found out a short distance away they had a Weber Grill restaurant. That sounded like a place I'd like to eat, a restaurant with my name on it. And I like that, especially since they had barbecue. And if you go to our site, I'm in front of the grill with a giant red kettle grill behind me. It's an interesting restaurant. You can actually watch them cook and grill your meal. They actually use real charcoal on large kettle grills. I have a photo. I believe they're probably cooking the Stairs hamburger in the photo. That's what she got anyway. And I had an additional note here in the podcast. They must have an extremely good exhaust system. You certainly aren't normally supposed to grill indoors, but they must have a lot of fans that take the fumes out. Well, we have a photo of us here with her Weber Classic hamburger. Well, we didn't go to Chicago to go to Weber Grill, though. We went to take her friends out to a service for Jesse Doherty's sister, his older sister, Grace. And I have a photo of Jesse and his wife, Wilma, with two great nieces and their husbands. And then a bit of a note about the service. It was a beautiful service. And I can say, and Brooksine and I can both say, a number of times throughout our lives, we have probably been more inspired in our walk with the Lord at the funeral service or memorial service for one who died well and lived well and died in the faith than even many church services we've been to. And this was one of those occasions. It was a very edifying service. We did not know the lady that died. Her name was Grace, but it was about a 90-minute service, and for those that may know Grace, there is a video, I've got a link to it, of the service itself. Even for those that may not know her, well, like me, you may find it to be a blessing, because it just reminds us of what really matters. Well, today we do have, as typical, some additional supplemental resources and music. We have a neat video I referred to yesterday in my sermon called The Bridge, a powerful, dramatic story that illustrates the sacrifice God made in allowing his son to die for our sins. And that is a link to a YouTube video and then several songs related to today's theme with Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry. We post today something we try to post every year at this time, and it's something Brooksine developed several years ago from the Life Application Bible. It's basically the events of Passion Week chronologically arranged with Scripture, beginning yesterday with the triumphal entry. In fact, today On Monday, it is believed it would be the day we find the story of Jesus clearing the temple. And finally today, while we were out, our friend Jim Schmidt, colorful man in his 70s, we met about 10 years ago up in Boston, visited our area and was not able to visit us, but managed to visit our Amish friends, Jesse and Anna Ruth, and colorful Jim got his picture taken on a manure spreader, and I just had to put that up.
And they reside in Ocean City, Maryland.
Yeah, what did I say?
Oh, did Ocean I say City, New Jersey.
Ocean City, New Jersey.
You
That's
said we met
correct.
Them in Boston.
Well, we met them in Boston, yes. But they live in Ocean City, New Jersey area, actually not in that city, but become very good friends.
And, appreciate them.
Probably Jim and Dorothy will see their picture up today. Well, thanks for joining us. Our website is dailyencouragement.net. We post these messages normally each weekday. Plan to do so throughout this next week. This is the message that we have prepared for Monday, March 29th, 2010. Have a blessed day. And remember, consider the one who loved us so that he died for our sins. Mm-hmm.